Hello, it's Randy Rhodes. Here's a clip from our show, and go to randyrhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Bye, Skinky Podcast.
Mary had a little man.
The fault.
We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From Radio Beacon to Radio Beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhodes Show.
Well, I think it's sad, but I think to a large extent, in all due respect, I think the media causes a lot of it. Fake stories are being reported. A lot of bad things are being reported that aren't true. And, you know, I think to a certain extent, maybe I can blame the media. But politics is a rough business. There's no question about it. Well, I think the press makes me more uncivil than I am. You know, people don't understand. I went to an Ivy League college.
Oh, my God.
I was a nice student. I did very well. I'm a very intelligent person. The fact is, I think the press creates a different image of Donald Trump than the real person.
He's insane. He's insane. What? I can't read his tweets? I can't see that he's attacking war widows now? Which, of course, is the American way. Yeah. I mean, it's always been a fine tradition in the United States of America to attack the widows of the fallen soldiers. What does he think we're blind? He did this for like 8-9 days. And the media is doing it. The media is creating this image of him. He's doing it. He's tweeting. He's tweeting all day, every day. Standing ovations and everybody loves me and I have the best ratings and standing ovations at the CIA headquarters. I mean, does anybody remember that? That was so unbelievably bad. That was the first place. Okay, he was supposed to have announced Mike Pompeo as the CIA director like a few days after he became the president. And the confirmation had not happened. So he decided he would go to CIA anyway without any announcement. And he ended up talking about his election victory, his electoral college victory, and how hard it is to win the electoral college because of the way it's set up. And he did this and he did that. Well, yesterday, I just want you to know, you know, he's saying, oh, I got a standing ovation at the CIA. He tweets, even though people were outraged at what he did, that he went to CIA and brought his election prowess, his election victory into that somber place. Well, yesterday he went up to Capitol Hill, right? And we said, oh my God, that must have been a doozy of a lunch, because right after that lunch, that's when Jeff Flake got on the floor and said, this is not normal. This president is not normal. Normalizing him is not normal. This is, and Jeff Flake is as conservative as you could get. I mean, he's not, like I said, he's not our friend when it comes to transfer of wealth through the tax code. He'd do it. He would do it in a heartbeat. And same thing with Corker. He would do it in a heartbeat. He would take away your mortgage deduction. He'd take away charitable deductions. He would take away your ability to do pre-tax contributions to your own retirement. You know, they would do that to you because somebody's got to pay, right? Somebody's got to pay for these tax cuts. So they would do it. So they're not your friend in that way. But all of a sudden, they're like, okay, we've had enough. All of a sudden, they've had enough. I'm telling, first of all, Flake sits on the Foreign Relations Committee also, but Flake is the chairman of a subcommittee inside Foreign Relations. And guess what? It's the Africa Foreign Relations Subcommittee. Africa. Somebody knows something, and it's just unconscionable. But okay, so about this meeting, this lunch meeting, everybody's trying to find out what happened there. What happened? Turns out Lamar Alexander said what happened there, and a couple of other Republicans said what happened there. And they said he went up to the Senate. They thought they were going to have a meeting about this tax reform, or this tax cut is what it is. And he went up there, and guess what he talked about? Guess! His election victory! That's what he talked about. Wait, I'm going to get the exact quote because this can't come from me, okay? Trump didn't talk much about tax legislation during his visit to the Hill. He spent the opening 30 minutes of his closed-door remarks simply reiterating what he considers to be his many accomplishments of his first 9 months. Most of those things were done through executive actions that took no help from Congress, where the broader agenda items, the big ticket issues like healthcare and tax cuts, have stalled, added Senator Lamar Alexander, Republican from Tennessee. Quote, mainly he talked about the accomplishments of the first 9 months and then hopefully we'll get tax reform. He couldn't focus. His continued unwillingness to focus on critical issues such as the tax overhaul prompted Lamar Alexander to tell him, you know, if you focus, he said, presidents have the ability, if they focus like a laser, to simply wear down Congress and get a major piece of legislation passed within the first 15 to 18 months in office, if they focus, Alexander said. Trump was having none of it. Instead, he tweets out three times already, oh, got a standing O, and this dossier is fake, and it's the media's fault. They're printing untrue things. Everything real is fake, and everything fake is real. I mean, it's an alternate universe, and you cannot have a president who does this. Eddie in San Jose.
Hi, Randy.
Hello.
Hey, I was just struck me when you were reading those details about the Steele dossier, because I've seen them before. In particular, a guy named John Cipher, who's sort of a former CIA official. He's written something about a month ago where he quoted almost word for word exactly what you just said.
Because that's in the dossier. That's what I'm reading.
Right, and he's seen the dossier, and the important thing to him was that most of these reports came from this Orbis Business Intelligence Group, which is in London, and the PP tape is the least important thing.
Right.
These business
Okay,
reports,
here's the only reason why the PP tape is important. It makes him blackmailable, but money laundering does too. So that said, continue.
Right, but those business intelligence reports in particular are verifiable, and one of them said that a Russian-supported company had been using botnet, porn traffic, and that kind of stuff to transmit viruses and hack into the Democratic Party leadership group, and that the FS, or basically the hackers recruited by the Russians, had been responsible for this.
Right.
So I've got to imagine that at least one of those business reports has to be why Christopher Steele went to Russia to verify these reports. So for me, I don't know why people are saying, oh, you know, we can ignore it. I mean, those business intelligence reports are pretty solid. There's no question about them.
Well, this is the thing, and the lineage of the dossier matters now that Trump has called into question its veracity simply because Hillary Clinton's name is poison, especially among his base, so that if her name is attached to it in any way, that discredits what was found. And that's untrue. I mean, she could be poison to a lot of people, and that doesn't matter. What matters is what was in the dossier, and what was in the dossier, a good chunk of it, has been verified by the FBI, and some of it has not, like the PP tape. That's the thing that remains unverified, okay? But a spokesman for, Vladimir Putin completely denies everything about the dossier, which tells you it's true.
Right. But I think for the bigger picture, these guys, the basic background is that it was paid for by Republicans in the beginning.
I'm saying. I got off my own little thought there. But yes, that's the point. The point is the lineage. The lineage is that a GOP donor, this is as far as we've gotten, we don't know who it is, but a GOP donor, could be Mitt Romney, could be anybody, okay? But we don't know who. Who do you think?
Jeb.
They're
possibly
saying Jeb.
Possibly, but I would suggest maybe someone attached to the Mercers. Who knows?
I mean, it doesn't. We don't know. And so if the law firm that, did pay after the end of the Republican primary, continued to pay Fusion, comes forward and says, yes, we paid after the GOP let it go. Well, then where's the name of the GOP donor? I think that the Democrats have been more transparent than the Republicans have.
Well, I think that company, that law firm is Perkins Coie.
Coie?
I think it's Coie. COIE, yeah, and it handles a lot of the senior Democratic.
Oh yeah, I wrote it wrong. Yeah, it's Perkins Coie.
So they kind of are. They're probably standing back and say, "Hey, go ahead, investigate Fusion GPS. We're done with them." And I'm betting they're saying, "We bought a product off the shelf that had already been produced."
Yes.
And that, I mean, I don't know why these newspaper reports are coming out that somehow Trump has magic information.
And you know what? I want to know this. If let's say Hillary Clinton had this information, why didn't she use it?
Well, that I've even seen people inside the Hillary Clinton campaign say, why I didn't know about this. Why didn't we use it?
Yeah, you know who that that was? Brian Fallon. He was the spokesperson for the Clinton campaign. And he I heard him last night say the same thing. You know, he said, the first I learned of Christopher Steele or saw any dossier was after the election. But if I had gotten handed it last fall, I would have had no problem passing it along and urging reporters to look into it. Opposition research happens on every campaign. And here you had probably the most shadowy guy ever running for president. And the FBI certainly has seen fit to look into it. I probably would have volunteered to go to Europe myself to try to verify it if it would have helped get more of this out there before the election.
Well, certainly.
Now, you got to believe that that's true, number one. And number two, who's the GOP donor after long last? Who did this? Who hired Fusion in the first place?
Well, and of course, their response to people poking into their business, quote unquote, is to basically plead the fifth in front of the congressional testament. Congressional committee.
Yeah.
And I don't even know. I mean, I think lawyers have been saying there's nothing that they can plead the fifth on. They're not accused of any crime.
Right.
They're just refusing to answer any questions. Which is
and different. I think that's because there are confidentiality agreements, and perhaps the Republican donor doesn't want his name or her name revealed.
Because
but
Perkins
the Democratic,
has already released
them. But the Democratic law firm asked to be released from the non-disclosure, and Fusion also asked if they would release the, you know, the Democratic law firm, and they both agreed, and that is why we know that it's Mark Elias and his law firm, because they released each other. That's why they couldn't testify. They couldn't testify because they were bound by non-disclosure agreements.
Right, and just one last bit about one of those Orbis Business Intelligence reports. One of them said that Putin had actually expressed concern over money, basically kickbacks, that Manafort had been receiving from Viktor Yanukovych,
the Ukrainian dictator that was loyal to Putin, right?
Right, and Putin and his aides said that those payments are the thing that U.S. authorities would be able to nail us on if they tracked those payments.
Unreal.
So that's definitely in that dossier.
So in the end, just for people who may be just a tad confused, the GOP started this opposition research project with Fusion GPS. After Donald Trump became the nominee, they gave it up. Fusion said, what we got here is really explosive. This law firm that represents the DNC and Hillary Clinton agreed to continue to pay. We don't know how much. However, it did not direct the research. The campaign did not get the information in time to make it usable. That's for sure. And they had a client confidentiality obligation, which the Democrats and Fusion released each other from. And that's how we know who the Democratic payer was. But we don't know who the Republican payer is because they don't want their name released.
Correct.
So that's where we are.
Yeah. Couldn't agree with you more, Randy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And nobody directed Michael Steele to write anything that he wrote. And in fact, what he was writing, he found so alarming that he turned over his documents to the FBI and to John McCain. And the final arbiter of the veracity of what is in that document is not Donald Trump. The final arbiter of the truthfulness of what was gathered, this information was that was gathered, is going to be one Robert Mueller. End of story. Go to RandyRhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.